Second Kings chapter number 1. And I appreciate everybody again being here in the Lord's house this morning. And I desire your prayers. I truly desire your prayers that the Lord would give me clarity of thought this morning. Verse number 1, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise and go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? They said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. He said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? They answered him, he was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. I want to look in this chapter in this story, and I know the Lord had brought my mind here this morning, and several things that I have got on my mind. First, the question that King Ahaziah, who was the king at the time, first, I want you to note that in here we see immediately three men. Ahab, who has died. He was a king in Israel. Everybody remembers the stories of Ahab and Jezebel. They were about as wicked a king and queen that ever did land in Israel. And so Ahab is dead, and his son Ahaziah is now king. And also we see this man by the name of Elijah, the Tishbite. And so when I looked at the question that the king had asked his messengers about Elijah, he said unto them, what manner of man was he? What manner of man was he? I began to think about the father before him. What kind of man was his father, Ahab? Of course, again, I say very wicked. And Ahaziah, again, an idolatrous man and wicked. Ahaziah, in this story, had fell sick. Now, he's a king in Samaria. They have two kings, one in Samaria, one in Judah. And here he is, He's governing his people, and this is the land of Israel. This is the land that God brought the children of Israel to. And here you have a king that falls sick. He fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber and was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers to go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether he would recover of the sickness. And Beelzebub here is the same god as they had accused our Lord of having the devil, Beelzebub. It's the same god. And he's a very known in the land of Ekron as, I guess, one of the more demonic, one of the more wicked demons. And this god that he's seeking to see if he's going to recover of disease. The Lord of the Flies, that's what his name means. Why would a man send messengers to a false god that's named Lord of the Flies to find out whether he's going to recover from his sickness? The thought of man is where I'm going this morning. I mean, it amazes me what people will do to try to find answers in this world. Some of the most weird things, some of those pagan ways and wicked ways. Are you listening to me? And God sent his prophet Elijah to meet the messengers way before they could ever get to where the god of Ekron was. God had sent him. He had let him know. You see, that's an amazing thing about our God, is that he knows what's going on in the affairs of men. He knows what's going on in your life. Whether you want to seek him or not, he knows what's going on. He knew what was going on in Ahaziah's life and that he was sick. And he said, go tell his messengers. Is it because there's not a God in Israel that you go and seek Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? And I thought about that question. Is it because there's not a God in Israel that he couldn't seek, I mean, to get a true answer? Are you listening to me? Is it because that there's not a God in Israel that he wouldn't pray to heal? I mean, think about that today. Is it because there's not a God in heaven that we don't pray? That man don't pray to him. That man seeks every other way and every other avenue. I mean, people will pick numbers and look at all kinds of things and cards to try to find out the will of their life. When God, there's a God in heaven that knows the affairs of man. Amen. Is it because there's not a God in heaven that you can't find direction? There's a lot of people looking for direction, can't find any. I mean, he was wanting direction in his life. That's why he wanted some answers. He wanted to know whether he's going to live, whether he's going to recover. I mean, those are some pretty important things to ask a God that can't even talk back to you. Are you hearing me? I mean, listen, people will try all kinds of things that are nothing more than chance and think they've got an answer. There's people that'll go to Ouija boards and, I mean, every kind of wickedness, and even some things you wouldn't even think was wicked, you think just stupid, ignorant. that people are trying to say, well, this must be a sign for me? Is it because there's not a God in heaven that you can't pray to Him and find direction for your life? There is a God in heaven. Amen. There's a God in heaven that can give you answers. Amen. That's what He wanted. He wanted an answer. And there's a God that can give answers. Oh, yes. He gave Elijah the answers long before He gave them to the king. You ever thought about that? That somebody else have the answers to your life before you do? And you know why? It's because we asked that question. What manner of man was that? What manner of man was that that met you messengers in the way? They said, well, he was a hairy man. He was a girt with a girdle of leather. He knew. That's Elijah. The man of God. As a man of God. That's what kind of man he was. You've got a wicked man. You've got an idolatrous man. Then you've got a man of God here. Amen. I mean, one that knows the Lord. One that seeks God and calls on God. But not only that, one that God talks to him. The Bible says in verse 3, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite. I mean, Elijah wasn't even asking about the king. He could, I guess, as far as he knew, nothing had happened to the king. But the angel of the Lord had came and spoke to Elijah. Now, this is a picture of the Lord himself. The angel of the Lord. Yes. And he came and spoke to Elijah the Tishbite. One that he knows. One that knows him. One that he's in relationship with. One that Elijah, if he's going to call on somebody, it's not going to be Beelzebub. We find that out in chapters gone by that Elijah, are you listening to me? He had no place for Baal in his life. But there was a place in his life for the Lord God of heaven. The Lord God of heaven had all of his life. Why? What manner of man was he? A saved man. A godly man. Not a pagan man. Not an idolatrous man. Not a wicked man. But here they are. And he's looking for direction, this king, Ahaziah. And Elijah gives him an answer and says, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. You know what? He was expecting those messengers to go to where the Beelzebub was, the god of Ekron. Talk to those priests, and they were going to no doubt say, oh, yes, tell the king he's going to be just fine. And they were going to come back, and they were going to shower him with words of confirmation and blessing. You're going to be fine. Why do you know that, preacher? Because other kings before them had men that they had among them just so that they would lie and tell them good things all the time. This man's no different. He wants somebody to tell him all the good things. He don't want anybody telling him anything that may be true that he doesn't like. You know, that's the offense of this world, is that people will say they want truth until they get truth. The truth of everything is that God created everything. Are you listening to me? And this God wants us to seek Him. And this God has sent His Son. Amen. To die on a cross for all of our sins. And His Son rose again. His Son is coming again. And that's the truth.
But you know, the offense of the gospel, that is what offends people the most.
Why would it offend people? Why would this world, listen, I read something the other day. This preacher, I thought he was pretty good. He said, can you imagine trying to get the approval of a world that crucified a perfect man? But yet people, they want the approval of the world. They want to fit in with the world. They want the world to like them or love them. You know, they want the acclamation of the world. They want everybody to, you know, pat them and say, look how good you are and how glorious you are. And why would you want the affirmation of a world that crucified a perfect man? It's because, see, the Bible says this, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. First, it's the ignorance of man. It's the ignorance of this king to think that he could go to Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, and get an answer. To think that that was the place to go. I'll tell you the place to go to get answers today. It's in God's word.
Amen.
It's in God's church. People today want answers apart from the house of God, apart from the church of God. I'm not talking about just everything that's got a steeple on it. See, the Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Because broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in therein. In the last days church is going to be a church that says we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Yet the Lord said, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They know nothing about the presence of the Lord or the truth of God's word. We pick and take and choose what we want and what we don't want. We eat the meat and throw back the bones. I want to tell you something. This is not something that we can pick and choose from. You have to take the whole word for the whole man. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Elijah was going to give him the truth and the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. He told him, said, go back and say, is it because there's not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? The first thing God wanted this king to repent, to see there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
You know there's a God. He knew there's a God in Israel. Why would he send to the God of Ekron? Why would any of them go anywhere else other than to the Lord? Well, it's the same way today. We go to so many different things before we finally will go to the Lord.
That's right.
Is it because there's not a God in heaven that has answered in time past, that can answer, that can lead us, that can guide us, that can save, that can deliver? I mean, if he'd have come to God, God might have fixed exactly what was wrong with him. But because he chose a pagan God over the Lord God, he's going to stay sick. Is that God going to help him? Is that pagan ritual going to help him any? Listen, don't ever think that the things of this world that are anti-God is going to fix anything.
Right.
Because God of heaven is the only one that has the answers. Mm-hmm. He said, thou shalt surely die. You'll surely die. And Elijah departed. He had went and give his message exactly, no more, no less, to what God wanted him to deliver to the messengers. He didn't even go back to the king. Listen, he said he went to the messengers because that's who God told him to go to. Elijah, go to the messengers and tell them. It's up to them to take it back. After all this takes place, the king sent a captain with 50 of his men to come and bring Elijah to him, as if to force him from where he is, bring him bound. What'd you say to me? And do you know, when that captain and his 50 men approached Elijah and said, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. And Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and consume thee and thy 50. There came down fire from heaven and consumed them. This is a man that had God on his side. He's not going to threaten Elijah with a captain and 50 men. He sent another 50. The same thing happened. He said, oh, thou man of God. He said, wait a minute. If I'm a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and consume you and your 50. The answer to Elijah's prayers. Listen, there's a word. I mean the coupleness of God and his prophet, that Elijah could say such words. I could say those words today and there wouldn't be no fire. But Elijah said those words and there was fire.
Amen.
Fire. This was a serious event that this king, listen, had went to a pagan god for such a minute answer. But what a great offense it was. A little thing like, am I going to recover from this sniffle I've got, this cold, or whatever sickness he had? It may have seemed like a small thing, but the fact that he turned his back on God and went to find answers somewhere else, my goodness, it was a great offense. A great offense. You can't just turn your back on God and think, oh, it's a little thing. It's a great offense. And this man of God, the third one came down. The third captain of his 50 fell on his knees. He had some sense. Fell on his knees before Elijah in verse 13 and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Elijah, we're your servants. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s and their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him and be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, Is it not because there is no God in Israel to require of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off of that bed which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. He got to tell it to the king. But he told him, he wanted him to hear it again. Is it not because there's not a God in heaven to inquire of his word? You see, because God's word is the only word that counts. God's word. Let the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
God is true. Amen. Do you know why there's such an attack on God's word? I mean, people cannot be that ignorant today to think that Satan hadn't attacked the word of God in every manner, way, shape, and form. They try to do it intellectually, sound intellectually, as to, you know, say, oh, well, this and then that, and have no real spiritual understanding of the power of God to keep his everlasting word.
Amen.
He said, you're going to die, king. This king Ahaziah, because of his idolatrous ways, because of seeking this God, and it wasn't because there wasn't a God in heaven to answer him. It's because he didn't want to seek the God in heaven. Listen, I know there's, listen, you've got a choice today. You've got a choice. He could have called on God, and he chose to go to Beelzebub. People have a free will that God gives them. They can either call on him or not. You can either seek him and his divine word or not. You can go your way, but know this. The way apart from God of life, it's the way of death. He said, you're not going to get off of that bed. He didn't reign very long, did he? Ahaziah? No, in chapter 3, Jehoram, his brother, began to reign over Israel. His brother, another son of Ahab and Jezebel. You think about the wicked rulers, listen, that are leading people not to God, but away from God. People say, you know, well, you know, our rulers, it's not up to them to be, you know, spiritual or not. I beg to differ. Listen, I know most rulers, they're not. Most of them are not. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a mandate from heaven, that they should guide their people. Amen? Guide their people toward the Lord and not away from him. Is it because there's not a God in Israel to inquire of his word? Verse 17, so he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? This man didn't do much, especially for God. Didn't do anything. The very next chapter, you find Elijah being taken into heaven in a fiery chariot. What kind of man was he? No doubt he's a man that knew the Lord. He's a prophet, a man of God. These others were, again, wicked, ungodly. These two people in the world, saved or lost. People that are looking to God and them that are not looking to God. Them that are seeking truth and those that are looking for answers, but they're not looking in the right place. Everybody's looking for answers. They may be different questions, but a lot of them are very similar. The question of life. Question of peace. The question of forgiveness. It's the question of heaven and hell. The question of the soul and eternity. You can find that in the Lord. Amen. You can find it in the Lord. I want you to stand this morning.